The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with the lovely Tracy Thompson. So excited about what we're talking today. And I'm thinking back over our 700 plus episodes. I don't know that this is such a big deal. And I'm like, have we not done a podcast episode on it? Anyway, one of the biggest things, kind of hidden weapons or hidden gems in cleaning companies are the recurring services. So for those of you all that are fans, I've had a car dealership and a coaching company and a construction company and obviously a cleaning company and a manufacturer, a bunch of different companies. So I've gotten to kind of look at the strengths and weaknesses of a lot of different types of businesses. Mm-hmm. And holy heck, I didn't get when I was in cleaning what a gift that recurring thing was, right? Like I took for granted, if I have amassed $30,000 a month in contracts in June, in July, if they're the right contracts, if they're recurring contracts, in July, I've got a pretty good expectation of being 30,000. Maybe somebody leaves and I go to 29. Maybe I get a couple and I go to 31,500. But I didn't have a lot of 30 to 20 to 60 to 0 to 9 to 2 because we have recurring contracts. And we talk about that a lot. The reason Tracy's here, because I asked her at the beginning, I'm like, this is such a tactical thing. You're so mindset powerful. What are you doing here? And being the genius she is, she's like, yeah, Mike, you can explain why to do recurring. And not no one, but many of the people will still have fear and clench up and get scared and not do a blessed thing. So I could go on for weeks on here's all the benefits of recurring. I'll give you one kind of overreaching thing that should kind of give some credence. And then I'd love to hear Tracy talk about the fears and what people go through trying to make any change in their business, but specifically for whatever reason, this one tends to be scary.
Yes.
So if you go to sell your company, and I've sold several, like my construction company, it was wildly profitable. And we didn't sell for that much. I think it was like 2 or 3 times earnings, which is a good amount of money, but I could have just kept it for 2 years and had the company and the money. And the reason was we didn't have any recurring work. When I sold the company, we had like $2 million in jobs that were under contract that the new guy got. And I remember telling him at the beginning, he was like, oh my gosh, he was worried about changing the name and the logo and all sorts of bull crap that didn't matter. And I was like, you got to start selling. And he's like, I got $2 million in leads, right, man. Well, I didn't sell nothing. And I'm like, dude, the jobs that you find today and bid in 3 months are going to start 3 months from that. And then you're going to start the work a year from that because we were doing the construction we did was kind of at the end of projects. And then you're going to finish 3 months from that and you're going to get paid your last payment 4 months from that. So you're 2 years out, man. What you're selling today, you're going to eat in 2 years. You've got a 2 year, you know, you've got some dry powder, but if you just wait on that, you're going to be stuck. And that was the case. So however, you know, so that was a very profitable company, sold it 2 or 3 times earnings. If I had a software company where I'd had the same revenue, but it was $100 a month or two, whatever it is per month, but it was a monthly recurring service, I probably could have sold it for 2 to 3 times more, which is millions and millions of dollars. So for those of you out there going, well, so what? I don't care. I don't have a software company or a construction company. Why are you wasting my time? Banks and buyers aren't stupid. There's a reason, right, that it's worth more. It's not like it's just some arbitrary, we prefer this. It is actually worth more. So there's just a very top level of why recurring is so important. So there's two kinds of you. Half of you are going, all I have is recurring. This is boring to me. Why do I care? For you guys, I want you to understand the value in that. Mm-hmm. So you walk away from this going, oh, I can leverage that to really grow. And the other part of you is going, well, you know, I do some move in, move out. I do some mm-hmm. construction cleanup. I do some one-time cleans. Mm-hmm. Why are those such a big deal? You know, or even worse, half my company is that. Mm-hmm. And if I shut that off, mm-hmm. I'm going to quote unquote go out of business. And that's where Tracy comes in, because we kind of move into fear of like, this kind of makes sense, but my fear is going to be in charge and I'm going to sit down. What say you, Tracy Thompson?
Well, I'd like to add to that list another flavor of non-reoccurring is highly seasonal or Airbnb. There's some different variations nowadays that that kind of look like reoccurring, but not really reoccurring. So anyway, there's quite a bit of variation out there on this non-reoccurring front. So what I find is the biggest mindset block when we tell them, listen, the value is in the reoccurring and all the reasons you just said, and they can agree, and they do. They're like, oh yeah, that, you know, logically that makes sense.
And by the way, for those of you that are like, oh, this isn't for me, let me just include the list. And Tracing, please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Raise prices. Can't, I'm terrified. Fire that employee that you know is a cancer. I can't, I'll have to go clean. Fire that customer that you know is a bad customer and a pain in the butt and is not profitable. I can't, they're too big. So this kind of, I know the right thing to do, but I am not going to do it.
Right.
It's not like Tracy saying this and it only works on recurring. Other things you're afraid to do, it has no bearing. It's the same thing. So pick your poison, whatever fear you have of, I know the right thing to do in my business, but I'm not doing it. This is for you.
Yes, 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 yes. So it, and you may not out there, Clean Nation, you may not call it fear. I think for a lot of people, they're like, well, I'm not afraid. It's not that. Mm-hmm. And so it here's what's interesting is we all have a monkey mind. That's the way we refer to the part of our brain that wants to try to keep us safe. And so it sounds reasonable. It sounds like a good reason not to do something that feels risky, or all of that is a mask for I'm afraid and I'm trying to be safe. Even when I know it's hurting me, even when I know it's keeping me small or not, you know, able to grow or whatever. So we have two parts of ourselves. That's important to remember that there, we're not just one person. You know, we have a lot of voices in our head and we're still normal. But the voice,
the normal part, I'll fight, you know,
normal-ish.
Let's just leave it at, we have voices in our head. And, you know, this is our mindset coach with the voices in the head. She's just saying we're all feeling.
Right. So, you know, we all recognize it. It's just some of us don't call it fear. And we listen to that voice that says, well, but there's a reason, Mike. You know, if I stop taking that post-construction business and it's so lucrative and sure it screws up my schedule and sure I can't count on it and it's feast or famine and all of that. But the, you know, the voice that says reasonably, but it's money. And if I turn down money, then I'm a bad business person. And so we create these arguments in our head that seem really reasonable.
Let me give you a couple more, Tracy, because you're speaking. I'm like, oh my gosh, every freaking problem I deal with is this. So let me just, for those of you that are like dodging, you know, bullets here going, that's not me. I'm good. Let me get to meddling. I'll jump right into your business here. So when it comes to doing the work yourself, that lie, that fear, that argument, if we want to,
right,
that reasoning, if we really want to, you know, start using big business person words, sounds like I can make $1,000 in a day. Right? Like if you're doing floor work or moving, uh-huh, I can make $1,000 in a day. Mm-hmm. Yet when we do the math together and go, well, how many hours do you work a week? And how many is that per month? And how much money do you actually take home? It's like, all right, supposedly you made $1,000 a day, but you make $11 an hour. Like, so we kind of make arguments. And I don't know if I think some people are willfully ignoring some facts and other people, maybe as I did that, they went, hold on, wait a sec. Let me do that math. By the way, I'm going to just do that with you real quick in case you want to hit a pause. All the hours that you work a week, uh-huh, in and on, not just the cleaning, right? Uh-huh. I've used the example of, you know, for a keynote spoken before. And if you get $10,000 for 90 minutes, that sounds like a great gig until you realize I had to sell it. That might've taken weeks or months. I had to prepare for that particular audience. That might have taken 20, 30 hours. I've got to get on a plane. Typically, I need to be there the night before. You know, you can't miss a speech. So when you go all in, it's like maybe that whatever the fee is at 5-10 grand, whatever, is for now, you know, 300 hours of work. And that still may be okay. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but let's be clear. We're, mm-hmm, not, you know, when you see a keynote speaker, they're not getting paid $10,000 for 90 minutes. They're getting paid $10,000 for all of the, and again, not to mention 20 years of, you know, usually if someone's up front speaking, they've got some sort of value to add. So for what that can look like for you is I make $1,000 a day or $500 doing construction, cleanup, floor work, whatever. The other thing here, let me give you some other, I'm going to give them all to you, Tracy. You can fight them all at once, right? Because I promise you there's people at home thinking, but you don't get them. Oh, fine. I get it. Let's talk about it. And then Tracy can help bring you to the light. So yes. Tracy, I would hire people, but they'll do a bad job and they'll ruin the reputation of my company. I've hired people before. I can't afford it. I've hired people before. They just end up quitting and my life gets worse. I would hire people, Tracy, but my people only want me. I've got the magic cleaning dust that no one else in the world knows how to do. And if I hire someone, my whole reputation will be ruined in the flash of an eye, in the twinkle of an eye. All right, there. I think I've vomited all, and Tracy's heard these all before. That was for your benefit, Cleaning Nation, in case some of you are kind of hiding behind. That's not my fear. I don't have fear. I don't tell myself stories. All right, continue.
So bottom line, every time we know we're supposed to do something that is outside of our pattern, our normal, and you could complain mightily about it. Here's the interesting thing, Mike, is a lot of the times we hear cleaning company owners go, but I hate it. And you, sure, I still clean. And yes, I do post-construction. And yes, I do. But, you know, I really don't want to. I hate it. It's not, but they keep doing it. And so I just want you all to know that that's normal. We have that voice. The difference is that if you're ever going to get past that, you have to decide that that is nothing more than just a voice, right? That can be challenged with a higher voice. Okay.
And so should.
It should be. So just because you've always done something a certain way, doesn't mean you're doomed to continue to have to do it forever. There's this weird thing where when we have habits, let's just call it that, habits of thinking, habits of acting in our business, it's really almost like the habit has us. Mm. And so when you feel helpless to your own patterns, your own voice that tells you, oh no, I can't do it different. I can't trust people, like whatever the voice is. My encouragement is get good at challenging that voice. Challenge it. Pull it apart. Really look at it, because we talk about two truths and a lie, you know, that how often we don't challenge those voices. We just don't. And I love the example that you used of if you really looked at it from a higher perspective, a higher self perspective, and really broke down all the hours, it would not pencil out. But the other voice that keeps us in that pattern doesn't want us to look at that. So my first encouragement is always challenge the old voice and the old pattern first, because most of the time when we pull it apart and we pull it into the light, it's not true. It's not actually serving us as much as we think it is. So that's step number one.
And actually recognize, because I don't want to, and Tracy's great at not making you feel judged. I'm not. So I'm doing my best to make y'all feel loved. And let me give you some encouragement on the why we do that. Why we, and again, just for real quick, the reference Tracy made, the powerful one, I don't want anyone to mess, two truths and a lie, is if we say something like, I want to clean forever, we go, well, that's not really, that's obviously a lie. Or I'm going to have to clean forever. That's a lie. But if we go, well, I hired three people and they all quit and one kicked my cat on the way out, lie. And, you know, I did have one, you know, one customer tell me that I'm the only one that could ever clean and I'm special. Or I'm sorry, a bunch of people quit and kicked the cat on the way. Truth, right? I had a customer tell me, you know, I'm special. And if I didn't clean, you know, her life would fall apart. True that she told you that, probably not the truth that her life would actually fall apart.
Right.
Funny, because that lady will still fire you with no notice in a week or a month or a year, right? So we take those two truths and then we hit the lie. I guess I have to clean forever. It sounds super. So when you just have the lie by itself, that naked lie, it's pretty obvious it's a lie. But when you put those two insidious truths but before it, or truth, half truth, lie, it all of a sudden seems reasonable.
And that's how we justify it. That's how that voice in the monkey mind justifies the lie. Is by combining it and making it mean something that seems more true. Yes.
Yeah, combining and making it mean something. Yeah. And again, we're pretty good at seeing bald-faced lies, but when, you know, cults and stuff don't just come out with like crazy stuff. They say a bunch of stuff that makes sense and kind of ingratiates, and then they slowly get nutty, which we do. So the encouragement I want to give you guys and gals is we're not insane, or maybe we are, but with the voices in the head and whatnot. The reason we do this is to protect ourselves, right? If we were really clear on what cleaning was costing us, right? Because, and again, the cool thing is we get to do these calls and we see people as a snapshot. Typically they come to us when they're really frustrated and they're kind of willing to pull that lie out. And even then, when they come to us, we have to kind of pull out the cost and the pain and the frustration, and they fight us on it. Not because they're crazy or they want to fix it, but because if they walked around every day naked and vulnerable with this, I hate cleaning. It's been 2 years, a year, 5 years, God forbid, 10 years. And I never signed up for a cleaning job. I always wanted to have a business. If we kind of wore that on our sleeve, we'd be able to get out of bed, right? So to encourage you guys, it's okay to have that. It's not ideal, but that defense mechanism is there to protect us so we can go forward and get up every day. That said, just like Tracy said, even though we understand why we're doing it, which can help, so we have to judge ourselves. And again, the longer we've been doing it, the harder it is, because now we have to make this judgment of, if I can fix it in 2 or 3 months, this whole last 10 years has been a waste, right? That's a crazy thing. So I want to encourage you to go, we walk around with all this protection and things that aren't the whole truth, certainly, so we can get through the day. Okay, be that as it may, it does make sense to take a break and go, okay, once a year, once a quarter, we're recording this right before the beginning of the year. Now's a great time to do it. Okay, what do I really want? And what is this? Is this, if this life I have is not really what I want, what do I need to do to fix it? Not all the reasons I have to keep it the same. Employees suck, everyone sucks, COVID, I can't change. We do that all day long, right? So let's pick a day, pick a time, pick a moment. And that's where Tracy and coaching and outside person that cares about you, knows what they're doing, can really help you get clarity. So I just want to encourage you, don't beat yourself up for walking around in that all the time. There's a reason for it. It's not altogether helpful for you, but it has its purposes. Use that as a call to go, not today. I've got to take a monthly, a weekly, a periodic look at what the truth is, even when it hurts. Okay. Continue. You were about to go step two, I believe, but go ahead.
Yes. And just a really quick addition to that, before step two, in addition, so there's the version that says, I really don't like this, but it's what I'm used to and it feels safe and all that. And to change it is scary and everything you just talked about. But there's another version that I think is equally as difficult, sometimes more difficult, is I actually don't hate it. I'm pretty comfortable. I actually sometimes like
I like to clean.
I like to clean. I like the seasonal business. I like doing flooring, one-time jobs. There's a level of comfort and familiarity with it that makes it even harder. So it's almost like, okay, feeling like I have to let go of something I like or good for the great, for the bigger good, for the bigger growth that you want. And I think that's even harder, Mike. I think a lot of the times that's where they get stuck, right? Clean Nation out there. Maybe you're saying, but I don't hate it, but I'm not complaining. I'm on the other side. So what do I do when it's good, but it's not taking me where I really want to go? That's where equally we get an opportunity to challenge the old thinking. So you like it. Okay, great. But is it going to take you where you really want to go ultimately? And I think that's what you were just saying. Look at the bigger goal. Look at what you really, really want. And if what you're doing now is going to get you there, great. But if not, step two. Okay. Step two, after you said, all right, I've challenged the old pattern. Now, what do I do? And I think what a lot of people make the mistake of doing or trying to do, Mike, is try to change everything all at once.
It's a great point.
Well, like, okay, you know, it's kind of like New Year's resolutions. I'm going to, you know, not eat any carbs. I'm going to run every day. I'm going to run 2 miles. I'm going to do, you know, and you make this whole list and you get a week into it and you're like, oh man, this is impossible. I can't do all of that. So I think that's why we get overwhelmed when we're trying to make these kinds of changes. So taking one part, one thing, one aspect of what it is you need to change or want to change and make incremental movement, incremental change. So for example, if you were trying to move into reoccurring, more into reoccurring. Let's say you have some reoccurring and some, you know, one time, taking less or just not taking new one-time cleanings and focusing your attention more on reoccurring. So that would be an incremental version rather than going, I'm going to fire all, I'm going to dump all my one-time contacts and starve to death and, you know, and get into total fear and overwhelm and then, you know, say it didn't work. So does that make sense? So just take that one incremental step at a time. And sometimes that one step is I need more support. I need someone to help me. I need to have somebody here because I don't always know how to dig within myself to take that step. It doesn't matter what it is for you personally, but it needs to be incremental and small enough to where you can call it a win and grow every day.
So let me give a quick distinction on that because I love that's such yes. a powerful concept. And I think entrepreneurs, I'm so guilty of this. So you got me right between them. I'm talking about everyone else dancing between, you know, the bullets. I'm like, oh, Tracy just got me right in the middle of the head. I'm clearly let's just a little's good. All of it's better. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage, there's a time and place for that. So I sure. love the two examples you gave. One was going to the gym and I'm not an expert, you know, I'm a little chubby here. I got some muscle, but you know, there's other guys smarter to coach you on that. But I think common sense would tell you, just human nature would tell you January 1st, eating perfect, going to the gym for 3 hours and saying I'm gonna do that every day till I die is just not sustainable. So taking right. a step of I'm going to go to the gym, maybe I'm not going to work out. Maybe I'm just going to get the tour, right? Or I'm going to work out just for 10 minutes. Whatever, that you got to kind of gauge that yourself. And I'm not going to have any sugar.
Or I'm going to hire a trainer because right. I know that I need that support. Right.
That's so a step. Whatever incremental step you right. take is fine because it's sustainable.
Right.
However, when we're making a change, like I'm going to get rid of all of my non-recurring clients, there are now two ways you can do it because it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be sustainable. So if I'm doing something like diet or exercise or a relationship that I want to improve, like I'm never going to, you know, raise my voice or say an unkind word to my wife again. It's a bit much, you know, God willing, but more likely today I'm going to be an excellent husband or right. for the next conversation. I'm, you know, like that's I can do that. The being perfect forever, probably not going to work. However, if it's a one-time thing, it doesn't have to be sustainable. I'm in a bad relationship. I need to end it. Mm-hmm. Ripping the band-aid can be good. So right. the cool thing with kind of the transition from non-recurring to recurring, you've got options and they're both viable. Right. Some of us want to jump off the cliff and like, I'm going to let them all go. I'm just going to figure it out. Right. I'll tell you, more effective, I believe less net pain.
Sure.
More net pain for the next week or two or three. Like that's a son of a gun. But at the end, it's different going incrementally. And it really is for some people. So I just want to make right. sure we contextualize.
Some people are motivated by the big jump.
Right. If that's you, right. do that. If right. you're the person's like, oh my God, I would rather die. Well, then right. take the next step. So just make a distinction between things that you have to live with forever, in which case right. all of us kind of need to be reasonable and what's sustainable
right.
versus things that are one-time changes. And then kind of know thyself. Like for me, I would be like, I'm going to rip it. I'm going to fire them all today.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's the right answer. It's the right answer for me, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't go if for whatever reason I couldn't do that and I had to phase it over the next 3 months for me to go forget it, then I'm just not going to do it is insane. Same with the person's on the other side. Oh my God, if I try to do it all today, the earth would collapse. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That doesn't mean you don't do anything. You just right. love to do it. So know yourself. Right. All right. The problem with Tracy and I is we could talk for like 9 hours and we do not have 9 hours. So we need more Tracy. And by the way, the next time we do a podcast, we're just going to have a fun one called Everything's Mindset with Tracy. So I'm going to come up with the most tactical thing that I'm like, there's nothing possibly mindset about this. And then Tracy's going to do 20 minutes on how it's all mindset.
You know, it's like, we'll call it, you know, like the old six degrees to Kevin Bacon. Well, we'll do the 1 degree to everything mindset.
Right. And again, it's funny because I'm like, what is Tracy going to add to recurring revenue? That's such a tactical thing. Tracy's like, oh, it has nothing to do with tactics. It's all mindset. I'm like, dang it. She's 1,000% correct. All right. So for all of you guys out there, Cleaning Nation, let me make an encouragement for you. I love hate the end of the year because I love it because this is a perfect time for people to go, oh my gosh, today's the day. I've got to make a change. It's kind of built in and we do it. We get it. God bless you. If for the majority of you, I'm guessing they're going to listen to this before January 1st. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's fine. For the rest of you that it's February 9th, when you pick this up, any reason's a good reason, right? Don't be like, oh, I have to wait. It's insane. So the love part is we're wired to be like, it's the first of the year. I'm going to do something different. The hate part is, we make, that's another excuse we use,
right?
11 months out of the year of, wait till what? And then even 2 or 3 months, like, so December is the one time it works. October, November, we're just going to wait till December. And then the rest of the months, we don't even think about it. So February 3rd is the same as July 9th is the same as December 27th. When you decide I have had enough, I have to have something different, go get something different. So next steps, action items. If you're like, I am dying to have that conversation, but if you're like me, I can't do it in my own head, right? My poor wife is the one I kind of bounce this off of. I don't know that she loves it, and she's the best, but she's not an outside party, right? She's completely invested, right? So for those of you that are like, I need help from someone else that knows how to do this, a Tracy type person or a Mike type person, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Check out the on-demand training. It will give you the 5 shifts that you need to make. And there'll be an opportunity for you to have a conversation where you can kind of go over, where am I at? Where do I really want to be? And get some clarity, right? And just kind of strip away the fear and spread the stories that aren't serving you and get you really clear on what you want to do and then come up with a plan, which is super empowering, right? Because if we just said, fire your customers, do the scary thing, get out of cleaning forever. You're like, I like the getting out of cleaning forever, but that's all terrifying. But if we gave you a step-by-step plan, you might be able to wrap your arms around. So Grow My Cleaning Company, check it out. GrowMyCleaningCompany.com, free on-demand training. Make the change, reach out, get some help. Talk to you soon. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.